As the world of medicine continues to pave the way toward non-invasive treatments for various ailments, our next guest has been called a pioneer in the field of light therapy. Early research suggests that using certain wavelengths of light can clear infections and treat certain autoimmune and chronic diseases.
Chukwuka Enwemeka is dean of UW-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences. He'll be giving a talk presented by the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters next Tuesday night at 7. It's called Full Spectrum, The Promise of Light as Medicine. Chukwuka, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So I've heard of light in treatment of seasonal affective disorder, but this goes way beyond that. Can you explain what phototherapy is, please?
That's correct. Phototherapy, in this sense, is the use of different colors of light, call it wavelengths of light, to treat a variety of diseases and conditions. To give you an example, we are using this now to treat pain, particularly pain of head and neck origin, pain due to carpal tunnel syndrome, low back pain, and pain due to certain diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis, as well as to heal the body when the body is injured and cannot heal itself, for example, with chronic wounds and with ulcers and so on.
Let's get into the wound and infection side of things first. What kind of light are we talking about that might be helpful?
Here we're talking about near-infrared light and red light. Near-infrared light, for the benefit of listeners, light in the that is invisible but very close to the red spectrum of the wavelength. Hence, it is called infrared, which means below red. In terms of the wavelength. A wavelength is actually above red, but the first time it was discovered, it was thought to be below red.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the science there? How would that infrared light just off to the red side of the spectrum help with something like an infection?
We are yet to fully understand the entire mechanisms that are involved, but for now, the theory that is being pursued and which seems to be gaining a lot of prominence is the fact that these wavelengths of light are absorbed by certain chemicals in the cells of the body known as chromophores collectively, in particular one of them which is called cytochrome C oxidase, found in the mitochondria, inner membrane of the mitochondria, appears to be really sensitive to these wavelengths of light. And the light energy that is absorbed here begins to modulate the action of this molecule, the cytochrome C oxidase, and then causes the cytochrome C oxidase to influence the electron transfer mechanism of mitochondria, resulting in the synthesis of large amounts of ATP, which, as you know, is the form of energy that the cells use for repair, for growth, for everything that they do. So once the extra boost of energy is available to the cell, now the cell is capable of fighting diseases and healing the body, synthesizing some of the enzymes and proteins that are needed to effect healing.
So if I'm a patient here and I guess I have a wound or something with a stubborn infection, what would my treatment be like if I were in the, I think this is still experimental, but what would I go through to get this infrared light therapy?
You're right. It's still experimental. And what will happen is that typically the wound will be cleaned up and then some chemical applied, and then the wound is dressed up again, and then the patient goes home. But with light therapy, what happens is that the wound is cleaned up, and before redressing the wound and all that, this infrared light is then shone on the wound for up to 2, 3, 4 minutes. Sometimes, depending on the power and the output of the device that is being used, the treatment could be as long as 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then the wound is then dressed up again, and then the patient is sent home. In the experimental work we did in Brazil, we took patients with diabetic ulcers that were not responding to any known treatment. And I mean any known treatment. They had tried everything that was available, and the patients were not responding. And we treated them in this fashion, two times per week. And each treatment was just 3 minutes of light plus dressing up and then making sure that the wound bed was cleaned in the normal fashion. And within a period of 12 weeks total, all these wounds had healed. 75% of them had healed fully, and those that were not fully healed had actually healed almost completely, that the patients were then allowed to stay on the study for a longer period of time, and then they were all fully healed. The interesting thing about this study in Brazil that we did and published in 2009 is that the patients have not since, none of them has since returned with any wound. And these are people that have had diabetic ulcers for a very, very long period of time.
So this is, if these experimental results hold up, this is exciting news for people with diabetes, for whom a wound, especially at an extremity in their feet, can be deadly in some cases.
This is correct. As you know, those wounds in the lower extremities often get worse and then proceed to progress to a point where it becomes gangrenous, and sometimes the limb is then amputated, which is the ultimate outcome of this sometimes. And so having this type of treatment that could stop the wound from getting worse and in fact heal the wound means that we can prevent some of those amputations and other complications of diabetes.
So we've been spending all our time so far on one end of the color chart, the Roy G. Biv. We've been in infrared territory. Your work, though, has been on the opposite end, on the blue side of things, ultraviolet. How does blue light therapy work?
Yes. Since 2007, we have focused our attention on the use of blue light. Very close to ultraviolet, not really ultraviolet itself, but blue light in the range of 405 to 470 nanometers for those listeners who are inclined to, who are scientifically inclined. And what we're finding is that this wavelength kills bacteria and kills the deadly bug that everybody seems to be afraid of today, the methicillin-resistant strain of Staphylococcus aureus.
That's MRSA, right?
MRSA or MRSA. Yeah, and we, in one shot, we were able to kill as much as 92% of the bacteria colonies in vitro. And we have repeated these experiments over and over again, and the results are the same. Both 405 nanometer wavelength and 470 nanometer wavelength were equally effective in doing this. And we found that when we repeated the experiment and now did multiple treatments, so you do like two or three treatments, we were able to wipe out the entire 100% in vitro. So we are at a point where we are now trying to design experiments that will result in the use of even very smaller amounts of light that we know will be absolutely safe to use in clinical practice. And we're doing that by designing some tools that will be that could be used by clinicians.
So it's destroying the MRSA in vitro. That, if I'm not super scientific, that means in a petri dish, more or less, not on a human.
Not on a human. That's correct, in a petri dish. And the implications are quite significant because it would mean that it could be wiped out from surfaces and from the environment, you know, using these dosages.
Oh, so yeah. So the big concern is in a hospital, on the surfaces, on a hospital bed, on sheets, on walls, on sinks, that's where the MRSA bacteria are being spread. So if you could treat them with this light, you wouldn't even need to direct the light directly on a patient.
That's correct. Plus, I think it is also important to point out that there are really two, there are so many strains of the bacteria. There are two that are very common in this country. There are other strains that are common in other countries. We have two major strains here. One is hospital-acquired strain, the HA MRSA, and the other is the community-acquired strain of MRSA, which is known as the CA MRSA. The the community-acquired strain is more ubiquitous and is found in locker rooms, on the beaches, in places where people congregate, on the playing field, athletic playing fields, and so on and so forth. that has turned out to become the to raise concern of everybody. And so having this type of tool that can wipe out the bacteria from surfaces will be very effective for stemming the tide of community-acquired MRSA.
So are
and
we,
also hospital-acquired MRSA.
Are you putting this, or are people trying to put this to the test experimentally in hospital rooms and maybe in locker rooms?
We are working on some of that, yes.
Is this also something, the infrared ones you talked about were something that, you know, you would shine directly on me if I were a patient with certain conditions. Is this the ultraviolet something that you might shine directly on a patient affected by MRSA?
Yeah, we're actually staying away from ultraviolet light because, as you know, UV can be damaging and has really some detrimental effects on the human body. And they're very difficult to use because even the slightest amount of overdose can cause real problems for people. This is one of the reasons that we are exploring this blue light technology. Because blue light is safe. It's clearly safe. We receive doses of blue light from the sun every day, and it doesn't seem to have much of any harmful effect on us. So we're staying away from that. And the infrared, obviously, is also very safe. You and I are biggest sources of infrared radiation, believe it or not. So you radiate infrared, every human being radiates infrared, you know, and every, you know, creature radiates infrared, which is one of the reasons it is so easy for people that use night vision goggles to see things at night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just very briefly, if this checks out experimentally, this sounds like a cheap treatment for a lot of things.
That is correct. And you know, the biggest thing about the work we are doing with blue light is that we are using commonly available light-emitting diodes in this regard. Commonly available light-emitting diodes that are very, very cheap. Not lasers, not, you know, high-technology photodynamic therapy and things like that. So this will make for the development of an effective treatment that is really very totally inexpensive and could be ubiquitously used.
Well, we'll watch for the results of your future research. Chukwuka, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That was Chukwuka Enwemeka, Dean of UW-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences. He's speaking at the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery in Madison next Tuesday night at 7. We've got some info on the Central Time Facebook page.